Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it, a sim, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, live from Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas.
One of these days, I'm just going to talk right through the open. That was, I had to shut up right at the last second.
What were you yapping about?
I was talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
He was listening, clearly.
Sorry.
Things to do on the breaks. We have like 18 jobs to do on the breaks today.
A little chilly, huh? Is that chilly?
Yeah,
outside?
Yeah. It's quarter zip weather.
Oh,
it's quarter zip weather.
On the show today, Aaron Schatz joins us from FTN, the creator of DVOA, with his mid-season check-in on the National Football League. We look at the NFL through the prism of his proprietary stat, DVOA, because he is kind enough to come on every quarter of the NFL season. Still haven't had him on the Megapod yet this year.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll try to get to Aaron on there as well, but he won't do double duty this week, so we'll have him as a check-in here coming up. We'll do our NFL Power Rankings, Win Total Wednesdays. I like that we do this because we keep track of what we've done. I've made 5 of these so far. We'll review those, and then I have 2 more today.
Gil keeps great track of what he's done. Kelly might have had to scramble this morning to try to find everything that he's reviewed.
Well, it's interesting because they're dynamic, right? They change from week to week. And so it's, again, something that I did off the grid for many years, the old stock market thing that finally became legalized just in the last 5 years. But we used to do it off the grid for so many years. JVT, VSiN senior NBA analyst, we'll talk to him as well on the show. But we must begin. We'll get to the NFL trade line as well. We got to begin with the election 2024. I couldn't have been more wrong. As it turns out, Kelly Bidlin, Donald Trump will be the 47th president of these United States of America. And the first order of business is, I've been calling Jeff Parlay the Grover Cleveland of producers all of these years. I think I still have to call him that because I'm not going to call him the Donald Trump of producers. I'm not sure how Jeff would feel about that, but Jeff is going to always be the Grover Cleveland of producers. But Donald Trump becomes the second president ever to have 2 terms with someone else having a term in between. There's a couple of things. We'll get to some of these numbers because some of these numbers are just unbelievable. And again, we did this all apolitically speaking. So one of the things is a betting thing. I'm glad I talked about this with Drew on air yesterday so that, you know, people will know that I was on record with this. I was saved. There are so many times in sports betting, right? And now here in election betting, where you are saved against your own sort of instincts.
Mm.
Bookmaker, again, I have a credit accounted bookmaker. Kelly,
going back to this.
They never, no. This is a huge thing,
right?
Because
yeah.
it ends up saving me because
you would have burned a lot more money.
I would have gotten destroyed on this. Instead, I end up betting on like these skins, which are severely limited, right? Whereas bookmaker lets you just bet and bet and bet. I probably would have done an in election bet,
right,
additionally last night before he realized it was over. By the way, New York Mets 16, Donald Trump is the Jeff Parles of the American presidency. We already have a tweet on
there's
that.
There's definitely a segment of the audience that was waiting for this just to be able to
just
tweet
to
that.
To,
yeah.
Can we do the other one too? Because this one MAGA guy has been, I really missed that. He didn't understand the assignment. This is not, I'm not in support of anyone. I was just trying to make money. But he said his tweet, he was sending me tweets all through the night. I think drunken tweets. Where like he couldn't be 100% mean, he was like sort of half mean. So he'd be like,
because he didn't know yet.
He was like, "Don't do politics anymore. Just stick to sports." One of them was like that, and then the last one he sent me was he said he goes, "Eat it on this, jerk."
Oh man!
I'd like to point out he said on this. So I don't think he wants me to eat it on anything else, but on this
specifically.
So thank you, ADJ Rocks LA, if that is your real name.
I also like that you just sent this to me because, like you said, he's not replying to anything on Twitter. No. So it's just that. And like Gil just sends this to me this morning. I'm like, I mean, I think I know what this is about.
But. I was just laughing the whole time. Like, he's like, on this. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Anyway, here's the so that was just pure luck for me that I never had access. I'm a little more worried about some of our friends.
Sure. Yeah.
But here's the biggest stats in this election, and then we'll move on to the trade deadline. But Donald Trump not only wins the presidency through the Electoral College, which is how you win it, but he wins the popular vote and by margin.
Incredible.
By 5 million votes. He did not win the popular vote when he beat Hillary Clinton in 2016. He did not win the popular vote when he lost to Joe Biden in 2020. He was a massive dog in the popular vote here, and he beats Kamala Harris by 5 million votes in the popular vote. Forget about the Electoral College for a second. That's the real headline stunner of the night.
It was like 3-1, right?
What do you mean 3-1?
It was like 3-1 to win the popular vote, Trump?
Yes. He was 3-1 to win the popular vote. She was minus 400 to win the popular vote. Nobody saw that coming. That's unbelievable. Now, people are calling it a landslide, by the way, in Electoral College. I think that's a big word. We should probably reserve landslide for Reagan beating Mondale in 84, where Mondale got 13 total electoral votes. He won his home state of Minnesota and D.C. Or Reagan over Jimmy Carter, when I don't think Jimmy Carter got 50 electoral votes even then. Those are landslides. But this certainly was a mandate. That's for sure. We'll go that far. The other two stats, the sort of substats that are fascinating, Biden beat Trump in 2020 in the Latino vote by 32 points. She beat Trump in the Latino vote by 8 points, last I heard. That's with all the comic who did the insults to Puerto Rican, all that. None of that mattered in the end there. And then the other one, I think, and we'll leave it on this. She did not, forget Trump for a second, she did not outperform Biden in a single state. She failed to outperform Biden, 2020 Biden, in a single state. And in, I want to get this right. And then when you go to all of the counties of America, you know how many counties we have in the United States of America?
Oh, my God. I have wondered this aloud multiple times the past couple of days and not looked it up. No, I
just take a wild stab.
792.
We have 4,600.
Sure, I was close.
Yeah. We have 4,600 counties in the United States of America. Counties or whatever they're called in different parts of the country. She outperformed Biden, 2020 Biden, in only 58 of those 4,600 counties. That is maybe the most amazing stat of them all. It's incredible. So
it really
congrats for anybody who had Trump bets, congratulations to you. Well done. You are a winner in the 2024 election. NFL trade deadline, of course, was going on. There were other things. College rankings. The first college rankings came out yesterday. No, like, huge surprises. The things with the college rankings are they don't really help us with bets at this point because you can't really figure out where everybody's going to end up on the final one. There's six of these, so you can't really anticipate matchups or anything. But as far as the NFL trade deadline yesterday, there was some movement. We were on air yesterday when Jonathan Mingo went to the Cowboys for a fourth round pick. I do not know what Jerry Jones is doing.
Still trying to figure that one out.
Trading a fourth round pick for Jonathan Mingo. That makes no sense whatsoever.
The best part about that one was actually trying to listen to the NFL insiders yesterday, like try to explain it. And like the only explanation was they really like him and they must like him long term because it makes no sense in the landscape of other wide receivers that got signed this year.
It also strikes me as they probably had him rated high going into the draft.
Correct. Yeah.
And they're like, let's see if that guy's still around.
And who knows? He's been in Carolina. We don't know anything.
Maybe Steelers got Mike Williams from the Jets. He wasn't doing anything with the Jets. We'll see if he can sort of go back to old school Mike Williams of the Chargers.
I expect, Gil, we're going to see a lot of deep balls from Russell Wilson to Mike Williams.
Yeah. Preston Smith goes from the Packers to the Steelers as well for a seventh rounder. Preston Smith to the Packers. And yesterday we were talking about the pickup by the Lions in getting Za'Darius Smith. Both of those are nice pickups for teams that look to be headed to the postseason. The Lions, certainly, we'll see about the Steelers, but those are good for a defensive line sort of padding. Obviously, in the Lions' case, they lost Aiden Hutchinson, so that's good for shoring up the defensive line. But the big one, The big one is at the top, because, by the way, Tre'Davious White hasn't, you know, who knows if he's a player anymore, went to the Ravens, so I don't know if he's, you know, going to ever be the player he was.
I like it for the Ravens, though, because it's you're already so talented. It's really a no-risk situation for them, right? Adam, and if he can bring anything to the table still, then great. If not, no big deal.
I saved the best for last. Marshawn Lattimore goes to the Commodores.
It's big.
The Jaden Daniels window is officially open. Is what this is. Marshawn Lattimore, who is oft injured, should point that out, right? That's the calculus here as well. As the Saints try to shed salary here, he goes to the Commanders. Four-time Pro Bowler Marshawn Lattimore. The Saints sent Lattimore and a 2025 fifth to the Commodes in exchange for a third, fourth, and sixth in next year's draft. You talked about Mingo being a long-term thing. If you're trading a third, fourth, and sixth Lattimore, you're planning on that being a long-term thing. That is a Skins weakness, right? That secondary, and specifically a corner who you can put out there one-on-one and hope that it's going to be okay.
I believe I caught the note I caught yesterday. First corner to be traded that's under 30. That's a three-time Pro Bowler.
Champ Bailey was not a three-time Pro Bowler when he was traded. I guess not, because he only played a couple years with the Skins, I believe, when they traded
him. I think it was too early,
Denver
probably.
For Clinton Portis. By the way, have we adjudicated that trade yet? Who won that trade? No, I'm kidding. obviously, the Broncos won that trade. One's in the Hall of Fame, and one just felt shy, is what I'd like to say. Clinton Portis's peak, by the way, with the Skins was his very first play. He took it like 55 yards to the house against the Bucks. It was all downhill from there.
he was a fun guy to watch in college and pro.
He was enjoyable. And then Brian Mitchell used to kill him on the radio because he would have oxygen after a 9-yard run. B. Mitch would just destroy him. So anyway, that's the big one. Marshawn Lattimore to the Skins. And we'll get to, again, after the break, we'll get to NFL adjusted season win totals. I will add to the five I already have. Kelly will add. How many do you have today?
I got two.
I got two as well.
I think I had five or six before.
Okay. So we'll look at those. That is still, in season, the best market I think there is. Alternate season win totals pre-flop, but adjusted season win totals in season. We will get to them next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. How about we do some season win totals, adjusted season win totals. You ready?
Let's go. Win total Wednesday,
Let's
baby.
Do it.
Are the guys looking over or under? It's another edition of Win Total Wednesday on a numbers game.
You know, adjusted season win totals is hard. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or pound law. Pound 529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement. All right. Can I review my past ones first? Can we do that?
Let's do it.
All right. So we've done this a few times. We did an NFL adjusted season win totals. Then we like did some other stuff. You did some NBA ones. But I think we started this about week 4 or 5 or somewhere in there.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I've done 5 of these. And let's just take a look at these. Only one of them is behind the 8 ball, if you will. Only one of them has gone the other direction. Previous bets, Dolphins, I made it under 7.5. They're lined at 6.5 right now, so that's good. Let me skip to the Jaguars. I made it under 6.5. They're at 5.5 currently. The Niners are still right where they were when I made it. They're still at 9.5. And the Commodores are all the way up to 11.5 now. Mm-hmm. So, and I made it over 9.5. So all those look good. The only one that is gone the other way is the Steelers are at 10.5 now, I believe.
Yes, they are.
So that's the only one that we don't have the best of to this point.
It's not on my list, Gil, but man, I got close to including today the Jags under at 5.5 still. Like that was my one I left off.
Yeah.
Like I think your 6.5 is great.
The tricky part about these is, and now we're talking about this with about 4 weeks generally of sort of cushion here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, you know, we're going to get one of the things about making these adjusted season win totals bets is we and I think correctly so, we get into the game of when is the proper timing of all of these bets. And it's sort of like a stock market thing where you're never going to quite hit it. Not never. Sometimes you will hit it precisely. It's not as sort of detailed as a stock market this.
You try, though.
But you try to. And one of the ones I have, let me start with the Bears, under 7.5. So I like the Bears under 7.5 as a new one for me. Bears under 7.5 plus 115. It's a bit of a dog. But there is the matter of the Bears playing the Patriots this week and the Bears being, what, 6-point favorites in this ballgame, I believe it is. If you look at, so I decided I'm still making it, even though I know on paper it is not precisely timed. Why am I doing that? Because I do think there is a possibility, right, with the Bears being in mutiny right now, DJ Moore just running off a field mid-play, I do think there is a possibility that this train could leave the station if they lose, and I'll never get this bet. So I'm not as much worried about timing this as precisely. I'm not trying to get too cute with this, but I'm going under on the Bears. Now, they play the Patriots this week.
Yeah, you're playing the timing of it could all fall apart at any moment. I want to get this in now.
And beyond the Patriots, here's the rest of their schedule. And you tell me if they can get, because right now the Bears are, what, 4-4 is their record? Four and four?
Yeah.
All right.
So is this team so dysfunctional? 4-4.
They're 4-4, so they've got to get 4 wins to beat me. So let's say they win this week against the Patriots. They got to get 3 more out of these. Ready? Home Green Bay, home Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota, home Detroit, home Seattle, at Green Bay. You're damn right I'm playing it now.
Yeah, I like that. I've got the preseason one. This one I looked at a little bit yesterday. I'm with you. This would be completely under. I looked at the under,
this
too.
This is a brutal schedule.
That is rough.
Yeah.
I mean, so, especially if you're picking up Seahawks week 17, like maybe they've even figured out some stuff a little bit more by then.
So it's more important to me to get the bet in now before the Patriots than to try to, you know, do the thing where you time it precisely, because if they happen to lose the Patriots, I'll never get the same number.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The other one is I'm adding to the Commodores. I already have them over 9.5 at minus money. It's already at 11.5. So that one's looking great. They're at 11.5 even money now, and they are 7-2. So they've got to get 5 wins here, 5 wins for me to win this. I got to tell you, man, I think their schedule is easy enough where they do this. I like this. Here's the rest of their schedule. They play the Steelers this week. Now, that's a big fulcrum game in this. If they beat the Steelers, and they're 3-point favorites in this? I got them at 2.5. Mm. If they beat the Steelers, oh boy, I mean, this is in great shape. But let's say they lose. Can I still find 5 wins here the rest of the way? Home Dallas, home Tennessee. Okay? That's before a bye. I need 3 more because I'll give me those 2. At New Orleans, home Philly, home Atlanta, at Dallas. It's going to be tight if they lose to Pittsburgh this week. But if they beat Pittsburgh, I think I'm in great shape for that one as well. And let me just repeat it again, because we've given you some Commodore stats this whole week. They have 19 punts the entire season. They have 3 turnovers the entire season. The 3 turnovers are the fewest by any team weeks 1 through 9, I want to say, ever. The 42.5 yards per drive weeks 1 through 9 is the most average yards per drive is the most by any team weeks 1 through 9 ever. That's courtesy of True Media Sports. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, what of that is sustainable? What is not? Am I going to sit here and say that they're going to continue that turnover rate, that low turnover rate? Of course not. They're not going to. I mean, if they were to only have 3 turnovers in the next 9 games, then you're talking about something absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, there's going to be some, you know, correction in that department. But the point is that they don't punt ever either. And Jaden Daniels is so smart with the football, always making the right decisions, that I don't think it's outlandish. I don't think it's outlandish at all. I'm taking the Commodores again over 11.5 here.
I like it. Yeah, the first one I started with was, we kind of brought it up on Monday, but the Pittsburgh Steelers under 10.5. And it does kind of, yeah, it kind of goes nicely with what you just said, because I don't have a bet on that game, but I would definitely lean Commanders.
Oh, minus 160 on that too.
Oh yes. Yeah. Minus 160. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, and I'll let you rip, but isn't that amazing? With as great as it's gone for the Steelers, right, to this point, better than anybody could have possibly imagined, their season win total has budged a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's gone from 8.5 to 10.5, but the under is super juiced on the 10.5. So it's really this, it has, because the gauntlet exists still.
I mean, this is in it because the gauntlet, right? This is, let's separate what we said preseason about this team and what we're saying now, right? My opinion of this team has changed from the preseason. They are a lot better than I thought they were going to be. Yes. Okay. This Russell Wilson thing has worked out, which I don't know if I'm shocked. I'm not too shocked by, but it's been very impressive, at least through 2 weeks, what he's looked like. So really, this at this point, it is just the remainder of the schedule and what they have to go up against. So you got the Commanders this week. We talked about that.
And that's a big game for both of those things that we were just talking about, the Commanders over and the Steelers over.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And then it's Ravens at home. You got the Browns. On the road to the Browns, on the road to the Bengals, Browns at home, on the road at Philly, on the road at Baltimore, Chiefs at home, Bengals at home. Yes, this is going to come down a lot to what the Browns and Bengals look like the rest of the year, but I think they're going to be competitive, and you're asking them to win 5 more games. That's a lot. So I couldn't get there, Gil. I think an under on this team is still the right look. I think looking over right now is just a little too aggressive. So that was one that I isolated. And then the other one, kind of for the exact opposite reason, because this is a lot of what we do. We do, right? We are analyzing these schedules. When's the right time to jump in? Like what you brought up before, we do this like every few weeks. We try to circle back on this for our Win Total Wednesday segment. But it's also from a betting perspective. Like you said, you want to circle spots in the schedule. But also, like, it's not really worth, like, checking, if you're dialed in on one team, checking it week after week, like, right, it's not going to do much, right? You can check in a month later after you looked at it.
Well, your bet is for it to manifest over time anyway, correct, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Falcons, this is, I looked over. You know me, I haven't been super high on this team. Yes, I had a bet for the preseason for them to win the division, but, okay, sure, Kirk Cousins has been great, the passing game's great. The defense is okay. The pass rush is absolutely terrible. But this is just, it's all about the schedule. Saints, Raiders, Giants, Panthers, all left on the schedule. Plus Broncos and Chargers, which I don't think neither you or I are all that convinced by. They've been putting up impressive resumes so far this season and have made me change my thinking on both their teams. But I still don't know that they're all that great. So I think there's a lot of winnable games still left on this schedule. Over 10.5, got to get 5 more wins here. I think there's 5 wins there pretty easily. And then the one that didn't make my card, I just want to point this out because this is another way I think you can play these win total markets. The Jags, I brought it up before. This is one you could come in now on an under and possibly buy back. You might set up a middle position at 5 or something like that. You can buy back over the next few weeks, Gil, because they've got Minnesota at home, at Detroit, and then Houston, and then the remainder of their schedule is not all that hard, the Jags. So you could bet the under now, and if you really wanted to, three weeks later, hit the over.
Did, when we do power rankings later, did you do top 10 or top 15?
No, I had to add 5 more this morning, yeah.
Because I did 15. Yeah. Did the Falcons make your top 15?
They did.
Right at the edge of it.
They did, yeah. Yeah.
They're an interesting team to sort of try to figure out where they are, stacking things up. JVT on the NBA. We'll do our power rankings coming up, but a basketball break and whatever else JVT's betting next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted. Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110 instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sporttrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sporttrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at BD the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from D-Gen Southern Gent. He says, he's talking about parlay. He goes, it's because he's been producer of non-consecutive terms. I always thought it was an ego thing because the homie Grover Cleveland's on the $1,000 bill and Jeff Parle stays getting those racks on racks. Hope you all understood all that.
I like that we... I'm sorry that we were confusing so much of the audience for so many months calling it that.
By the way, I did a little research on this. The United States no longer issues bills in denominations like the $1,000 bill. But apparently, Kelly, if you get your hands on one, they are still legal tender and may still be in circulation.
Is this one of those things where they're actually worth like more than $1,000 now?
Probably should spend it if you know. Let's see what else we got here from the tweets. What else we got here? This is from Tronsky. Just FYI, all states have counties except for Louisiana, which has to be different with parishes. Isn't there also townships as well?
I thought there was more than just Louisiana. I think there's more than just Louisiana. That's the easiest one to remember.
Right. But I think there's also townships up north. This is from, from Ace DiCardano, the charitable gambler. It says, Gil, the 1,000 times you said apolitically speaking, and we're just trying to make money here, didn't resonate for some people. The 1,000 first time would have probably done the trick. Hey, charitable gambler, I know you're trying to be funny here, but if you don't say it every time, trust me, this is the one subject where you have to couch it that way every single time, because people are super emotional when it comes to politics. This from, what is next year? Godfather 702. Congratulations, Jeff Parr. Congratulations to Jeff Parlay, who is the Grover Cleveland and the Donald Trump of producers. We don't have a shortage of the Grover Cleveland ones this morning. That was the big outcome. I'm surprised CNN and Fox didn't talk about this on their coverage.
I'm just waiting
yesterday
for Donald Trump to retweet this. You know, I mean, that's what would happen.
Jeff Parles, you are now the Donald Trump of producers. JVT joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. And of course, he is not only our senior NBA handicap analyst, I should say, but also the co-host of VSiN Primetime. He joins us now. How you doing, man?
Good, man. What's going on?
Going well. Will you take a listener text question first? Is that okay?
Sure.
He's like, oh, no, sure. this is from a Steve Fezzik, who says, great job with the live bets on the NFL season wins. Can you ask JVT if he likes any NBA updated season win totals this early? For example, Steve says, I like OKC over 59.5. Have you done any looking into that market at all?
So I've done a little bit, and I would agree. Somebody who actually, I've got OKC over there, just regular win total of 56.5. I do think that is a team that is going to continue to put every single effort into winning these games as much as they possibly can. And I think they're a little underrated considering what they've done up to this point. So I would think that OKC is one. The other, actually, I wrote about this the other day up on the website, and I haven't checked for a couple of days, but Denver, I think, is one that you're looking to continue to bet under here. They're in a really bad spot. We know that Aaron Gordon's injured. We know that Jamal Murray's out today with a concussion. Their bench is absolutely abhorrent. Some of the lineups that they're rolling out there when Nikola Jokic is off the floor are really, really bad. The other night against Utah, they're playing them. They take Jokic off the floor. They've got this weird amalgamation on the floor, which is like Russell Westbrook and DeAndre Jordan and Julian Strother, Hunter Tyson, and they absolutely get blitzed, and all of a sudden it's like a six-point game. They're really going to have a lot of trouble, especially with Gordon out of the lineup. So I think that a team like Denver and looking at them to continue to really disappoint and go under their win total. Again, I'm trying to look up and see. I don't have any posted in front of me, but I think Denver is in a spot where even something under like a 47.5 is still playable for Denver underneath their win total. Last look about a week ago was 50.5.
48.5 right now at FanDuel under it, even money.
Interesting. And again, we're not even 10% of the way into the NBA regular season, but never too early to look at these things. The other question I have for you, JVT, which came up on the show yesterday, the Bucks are 1-6. Doc Rivers isn't worried about them making the playoffs, or you?
No, only because the East is so bad, right? I think at this point right now, we only have two teams in the Eastern Conference that have a winning record. That would be Boston and Cleveland. The rest are either 500 or under. So I don't think they're in any danger of missing the playoffs because it's just going to be so easy for them to make the playoffs. Now, unlike Denver, right? I think Denver, you can have a real conversation about potentially missing the playoffs only because the conference around them is so much better. But for Milwaukee, the bar is so low to clear to get into the postseason that I think they're just going to get there by default. I think they're going to continue to struggle. I think they are going to be a poor defensive team. When you watch them along the perimeter, they really have no defensive stoppers. Go back to the game the other night that they lost on a final shot for Cleveland. Their defender for their best opponent's best player, Donovan Mitchell, was Gary Trent Jr. on a key possession. And he defended it relatively well, but that speaks to where they're at. So no, I'm not in any worry of Milwaukee missing the playoffs only because the bar is staggeringly low out there in the Eastern Conference.
Nice start, by the way, on your Warriors positive call, 6-1 out of the gate. Oh, I'm sure you love that. Was there anything? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that team's awesome. I think they're deep. They're great. And to get off to that start without Steph Curry in the lineup for most of those games is brilliant.
Was there anything else here in the first, eight or so games of the season, obviously give or take a game or two for others based on schedule, that you don't want to leap to a conclusion on, but it might be something either to the good or the bad where you're like, oh, I should probably keep my eye on this?
Well, I think to the point of like alternate win totals and whatnot, I think you're looking at Cleveland. Like, I think Cleveland is a legitimately like top three, not just Eastern Conference team, but like NBA regular season team. They're obviously off to the 8-0 straight up 7-1 ATS start. They're third in non-garbage time net rating, outscoring opponents by 14.5 points every 100 possessions. They're top three in both offense and defense. Atkinson's got them shooting more threes, playing at a quicker pace. Evan Mobley has turned into a not a legitimate threat, but look, he's shooting 40% from beyond the arc here. So when he's out there, he stretches that floor, something they desperately needed the last few years. And they saw Max Strus coming back. Remember, Strus is out with injury, and he is going to come back and make this team better. And then, of course, lengthen their bench just by his addition there. So I think that when you look at Cleveland and you talk about like alternate win totals or reaching some of these heights, I think you're legitimately looking at Cleveland to be a legitimate threat to win the one seed potentially in the Eastern Conference, just given the fact that they are going to continue to keep pace with Boston. I believe that they're that good. They're 7-1 or thereabouts for most regular season wins. I think there's a little value in a number like that for Cleveland because I think they're going to be very good in the regular season. But I think that's one that you're definitely looking for. I think the Cavaliers are a legitimate threat to be one of the best teams record-wise in the regular season.
12 games in the association tonight, including some interesting ones. Warriors at Celtics being one of those. Any plays from you?
Yeah. So I've bet a couple of things here. Oklahoma City, Denver, as we talked about. I bet this one already. It's moved up a point. I still think like seven's like the lowest point that you want to lay this number here with OKC. But again, going back to what Denver has now with Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon out, this is going to get pretty ugly. OKC's defense is brilliant along the perimeter. They don't really have any perimeter scoring outside of Jamal Murray. And now that he's not going to be available, this is going to be a slog. I think Denver's in for a whooping here tonight. So I laid it with Oklahoma City again. I think that seven is a playable number there. And I also came in and I took a little bit of a chance here. So I don't know if you guys saw the other day, the Lakers road trip was not going particularly well. They lost outright to the Detroit Pistons, and they trailed throughout the entirety of that game. In the game, Anthony Davis landed on his foot and made an injury worse. But in the post game, he was adamant that he was not going to miss time, to the point where LeBron and him were getting irritated with questions about it. LeBron was actually asked, hey, what are you guys going to do if AD's out? And AD shouted from across the locker room, he's not out. So it sounds like AD, despite the questionable tag, is going to play. So I took a little Lakers money line here against the Memphis Grizzlies to close out this road trip. I think they can match up well with the Grizzlies team that's pretty beat up, has a lengthy injury report of their own, and bet those two sides. So OKC laid it and took a money line play on the Los Angeles Lakers tonight.
Kelly, could you check to see if Anthony Davis has ever been hurt before?
It never has. Okay. It's also, for anybody out there that follows JVT, it just a little siren goes off in my head when I hear him betting the Lakers, because that doesn't happen very often. No. So.
That's right. I'm not Kelly Vidlin, who absolutely loves two things, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Milwaukee Bucks, and his country.
His country. We only have 60 seconds left, JVT. Give me your favorite NFL play, your favorite college football play real quick.
So we'll go NFL really quickly. And I do think that the market is upgrading this Colts team, despite the fact that there's no evidence that Joe Flacco is really that good. So I laid it with the Buffalo Bills. We saw the flash to 3.5. I don't think it's going to get there again. So took a chance and laid 4 there. And then in college football, I didn't have much yet, but I will say I laid 2.5 with Georgia is the other play that I had there. I think Georgia's in for a good bounce back against what I believe to be a fraudulent tough guy team in the Ole Miss Rebels. So yeah, Georgia there and the Colts opponent, the Buffalo Bills. Sorry, I got lost track there. That's right. With the Bills.
We all have those moments. Let me just ask you real quick though, because you are a Colts guy and you're right. Flacco couldn't have looked worse the other night. Would you be okay? There's some rumors about the Colts, like taking inquiries about Anthony Richardson. How do you feel about that as a Colts fan?
I mean, I think it's fine. I argue with the way that they've handled all of this, right? Like if you were going to espouse that you're ready for all the bumps and bruises that come with developing Anthony Richardson, you got to give him more than 10 games. So if you're willing to move off of him, I mean, sure, go ahead, do what you want to do. You've already handled it poorly up to this.
We got JBT drowned out at the end. He said they already handled it poorly. It was the last we remember. Thank you, John. If you're out there, @MeJVT is where you can find John on Twitter. And of course, again, our senior NBA analyst, co-host of VSiN Prime Time. We'll come back. Our NFL power rankings 1 through 15, and Aaron Schatz on deck as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out our all-new VSiN Watch app. It is seamless, makes it easy to watch or listen to VSiN anywhere, anytime, on your phone or tablet. And for a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSiN Watch app and get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows, easily stream video to your smart TV, browse clips by sport, or use the search feature to find the specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. The VSiN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users, so do not delay. Visit the Apple or Google App Store now to download the all-new VSiN Watch app now and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Downloaded it myself yesterday. Uploaded, downloaded. What do you do? Upload or download? What do you
downloaded.
Do? You
downloaded. Yeah, you downloaded.
Yeah. That's right. You downloaded. And it is seamless. Absolutely free of any bugs or problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for people, you know, I feel like this was more of a problem when we first lost the app. But if you're still trying to figure out reliable, easy way to go to watch or listen, I did it over the weekend. I was at the gym, threw the app on, just listening to it. But yeah, it's set up perfectly to easily watch or listen.
You know what I've developed on this desk here at the Circuit? You know, I have this kind of like lean in.
Oh, gosh. You know what's kind of funny is I noticed it earlier this year.
It's getting more pronounced. That's why I'm noticing it.
You know what you're doing, right? You're following me because like I've been doing it, I think, since we started. And I think you're just matching me.
So you think I'm looking at you and I'm so impressed by your posture that I'm mimicking it? Is that what you're saying?
No. You're picking up my bad habits.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I just noticed that I'm like leaning in like I'm doing a, I'm always on hey, the everybody, welcome to the show, that kind of thing.
But we do have to, the desk isn't angled enough, so me and you do have to twist our bodies a bit to look at
it. It's also the height
other.
Of the chair and the desk. Anyway, yeah, it was probably a conversation for off air. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Chris Hartman, finally legalized sports gambling in Missouri. Congratulations to everybody in Missouri. Of course, have produced the Ben Wilsons of the world and the Jeff Parlays of the world at the university.
Danny Burke, who else? Elliot, everybody.
Oh, everybody, yeah. Really?
Half of Easton former or current producers.
Mizzou, Ben Wilson calls it the Harvard of Boone County. So there's that. This is from, we read that one already. Matt, Warriors 013, good morning. I was a Trump voter. But no chance I was tweeting you, eat it on this. You've made me too much money over the past 5 years. I was very happy that you couldn't get down on your credit line. Okay, back to the regularly scheduled program. And I hope we're all our friends after that. Thank you for that. Shooter McGamlin also says, sports betting legal in Missouri. Bettors will never again have to drive to East St. Louis just to get a worse number. There's that. Good friend Chillionaire. If Trump could pull off his victory the way he did last night, apolitically speaking, of course, why can't Austin Wells win American League Rookie of the Year? Have a good day, guys. Long shots. By the way, those Major League Baseball awards, whenever you guys get around to giving them out, you know, anytime.
Yeah. Last night probably could have worked okay. You know, wasn't exactly a ton going on in sports.
Brian Morianen says, you'll need to break it to Kelly Bidlin that Kirk Cousins is going to throw at least two touchdowns to Patrick Surtain when they play at Denver. He means two pick sixes is what he's trying to tell you.
Gotcha.
Did you say something positive? Oh, about the Falcons. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is from, Jesse Welch liked our exchange when you said, I had to shut up at the last second. I was like, what were you yapping about? You're like, I was talking to you.
I was talking to you.
Yeah. Always appreciate the tweets. Good and bad, as long as they're funny, we enjoy it.
And don't worry, Jesse, we still haven't finished what I was trying to tell him before the show started.
Oh,
we still
right.
haven't accomplished that.
That's right. See, what happens is I have to read a promo, but we only have a commercial break for me to do it, so I like get distracted because I'm like a squirrel.
And I told Darnell back there to remind us during breaks, so what has he done? Every single commercial break. Hey, guys, we got that promo to record.
We'll do it. I promise you, we'll do the next one. Las Vegas 514, Rapido goes, yo, all I remember about one Clinton Portis is his Southeast Jerome character, and he was sick, and he was 648 yards short of Riggo's all-time Skins rushing mark. He damn near went to jail after retirement. Yeah, the Southeast Jerome thing was a whole DC thing. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Power Rankings.
Yeah.
Plug it in. DC 101.
I was just going to say, have we given up on our radio station shout-outs?
You know, I've gotten less creative because all I really know is San Francisco and
well,
DC.
Well, I mean, 103.1 The Buzz.
Something like that. Okay, here we go. We knocked these down to 15 now. Just because at 10 was becoming static and we were just curious how we would land on the next five. And boy, does it drop off a cliff at some point after that, because there's about 11 or 12 horrific teams. I got the Chiefs. Listen, here are my 1, 2, 3. I don't care what order you have them in. I still have it at Chiefs, Ravens, Lions. If you have it at Lions, Ravens, Chiefs, or Ravens, Lions, Chiefs, or whatever order you have them in, I'm cool with it. But those are my top three, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions. And the Chiefs are there because of one Patrick Mahomes. I know the defense is great, but if they were to lose Mahomes like they almost did the other night, or like we thought they did for one commercial break, they would drop so far in this once they would lose a football game.
Oh,
so it's
totally.
It's just the fact that they've got him and they're undefeated, and that's why they're there. Chiefs 1, Ravens 2, Lions 3. I still have the Packers at 4. I didn't dock them. Jordan Love injury, coming back from an injury, was kind of gimpy in this game. And I've got the Niners with Christian McCaffrey supposedly coming back and then Dre Greenlaw coming back. I still have them at 5. So my top 5 remain what they were 2 weeks ago. I have the Texans at 6. I know they lost, but they are getting Nico Collins back. Stephon Diggs is not walking through that door, but I still have them at 6. I have the Bills at 7. I have the taco holders at 8. The Commodores at 8. Then I have the Vikings. They were my dropper.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a couple weeks here where they've kind of been suspect, but they're still top 10. They're 9. And I have the Buccaneers, even without Godwin and Evans, I still have them at 10. They were great against the Chiefs the other night. And if you're like, oh, how do you have them and nobody else? Here are the next 5. Bengals, Steelers, Eagles, Falcons, Cardinals.
Yeah. The Bucs, I did not include in mine. However, I'm making kind of the excuse of I just don't believe in this team long term with those type of injuries. But like you said, they look pretty good still again the other night on Monday Night Football. I think the other two surprises that I was surprised by with yours, Packers as high as they are. Yep. I had to drop them back a little bit, which not like you said, I don't want to punish them too much for losing what I have the best team in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. But man, they are. Jordan Love, there is the high ceiling, there is the low floor sometimes, and him injured scares
really,
me a little bit.
Really stupid pass he made.
Yeah, because and then that injury, it takes away from his mobility, right? He's forced to throw out of the pocket more. That scares me.
You do with power rankings. We should sort of define in advance. Are you including injuries? Are you anticipating the return from those injuries? Like, there's a whole gray area.
Yeah, it is. And this is where, look, we kind of decide however we want to do these, right? I definitely bake that in a little bit more. The other one, I think for the first time this season, you have the Texans ranked higher than I do, which I feel like I was Captain Texans on this day. Yeah. So that was a little surprising to me. But yeah, for mine, I finally made the change. Finally did it, Gil. Lions up to number 1.
You always wanted to.
Ravens 2, Chiefs 3. It was... look, Chiefs, we've kept it one the whole season. I think for me, the time is now to start moving them down a little bit. And that is more of how good the Lions have looked. And that Ravens offense is just a machine, too. I got to leave them at 2. Chiefs go to 3 right now. But like we talked about yesterday, it's those 3. And like you just said, too, I don't really care how you order them. It's those 3 at the top. I think
that's your top tier for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty clear cut to me. Bills 4 then. I would even say that one was relatively easy for me. I think they are pretty clearly the fourth best team to me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Niners, I'm still with you.
Let me say that a third time. Really?
Uh-huh. I'm not giving up hope on this Niners team. They're getting healthy. You're getting guys that are coming back. I still think this team can be incredibly good in the NFC. So I'm not going to punish them anymore. Actually, I moved them up a couple spots up to number 5. It looks like they're going to get McCaffrey back here and get healthy. Watch out for the Niners, I think. Vikings, I didn't know what to do with. I left them at 6. You're right, though. I could have easily moved them back. I mean, 4 or 5 more spots probably I could have made the case for. Left them at 6. So Eagles move up 2 spots, number 7. They might continue to be on the rise for me. I think they're finally playing some better football. The end of that Jacksonville game was scary, but finally putting together some good games here, 4 in a row, looking pretty good. Commanders, number 8. Is that exactly where you had them, too?
Yes, sir.
That was kind of funny that we both had them randomly at 8.
I'm at 8 or I'm at 7? I can't remember anymore.
I think they were 8. I think. I saw we had them in the exact same spot. It was interesting to see who we put above and below them because I had the Packers behind them.
Again, the only reason they're not higher is they haven't beaten anyone yet.
Yep. Yeah. No, completely agree. Yeah, completely agree. So Packers 9, Texans then slide to 10. And then, man, this last 5 was tough. I actually like that we've been doing it through the 15 because there are different teams that you had in there, I have in there. I think you can make the arguments for any of these. Falcons 11 for me. Credit to what they've done offensively. I think defense still has some questions. Steelers, they're there at 12, and it's really hard for me to move them any lower with what they keep doing every week. Bengals then 13 for me, and then two teams that I haven't in the top 15 yet, but I think are right around there at least. Rams and then Chargers. Given the Chargers.
I think there is one interesting omission that we both have.
Not Denver.
Denver, kind of.
Okay.
But from where we thought of them at the beginning of the year. Any ideas?
No.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Not even top 15.
Well, they are. It's just the problem we isolated preseason has just played out the entire year. The offensive line is just a disaster.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they deserve to be. I don't think it's controversial. I just think it's interesting that we both agree that they're not in there. Aaron Schatz will have a much more analytical and definitive look at his power rankings through the prism of DVOA. I have a whole bunch of questions to ask him. Football analytics pioneer on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.